All right, let's go.
Now you want to go.
Trash Talk Radio. Coming at you live on MP3 from high on a hill above beautiful Lake Washington. My name is Lestro, and with me as always is the Guru.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
And you know how this goes. We're here to talk a little trash on a week's worth of sports. I don't know anybody except the Guru, and the Guru knows all.
Man, I know just a little something, something, man. Just a little something, man.
Guru, it is episode number 88. We've got actual football games this week. We checked the news from around the NFL camps. Zeke still doesn't have a contract, but Tom Brady does. The Kardashians bring us how Antonio Brown's feet turn, and the rumors about Kyler Murray might be the real deal. But first, we have to talk about that new Rich Paul rule. What the fuck is that? Then, Guru's NFL previews move to the NFC West. The Rams are looking to repeat. The Seahawks got bigger. Jimmy G is back with the 49ers, and Arizona's got a new coach, a new QB, and a new outlook. Plus, you know we got a two-minute drill. Trash Talk Radio, episode number 88.
Let's roll.
Guru, a little bit of turbulence there in the intro.
Absolutely, man. It's turbulent season, man. Turbulent season.
It is turbulent season is exactly right. How are you doing, man? It's good to see you.
Man, I am living the dream. Don't you pinch me, man. Don't you pinch me.
How was your weekend, man?
Man, my weekend was cool. It was cool, man. Just chilling at the beach, man. It was
no shit.
Beach weekend, man. Just chilling, man, at Where did we go? Somewhere up on the other side.
I was out in the yard with the baby all weekend. He was
teaching the baby the yard work.
I got him. No, not doing the yard work. I got him dunking a basketball this weekend, Guru.
Oh, I saw that, boy. I'm telling you, man.
Very excited about that. Dude. Finally got him to figure out exactly what that is. First time he's done that.
That's a different bounce, man. It's not from you. It's not from the Beckley side of the family, man.
No, man, he doesn't get that from me at all. I got nothing. Guru, speaking of basketball, if Little Estro ever hopes to get to the NBA, there are some new rules governing his way to get out of the NCAA. you like what I did there? His way to get out of the NCAA, governing the agents to get in there with the so-called Rich Paul rule, thusly named by one Mr. LeBron James, who, as we know, right now pretty much controls everything.
Anything with a round ball, you know, that bounces and going to the net, LeBron James controls.
Yeah, he controls it. It's got his fingerprints all over it. And this was the NCAA, I think, trying to assert their own little bit of control back over LeBron James, and more specifically, not Rich Paul, because ironically, the rule specifically excludes Rich Paul himself, but future Rich Pauls from coming in and taking it. What this rule says is that players who wish to test the waters of the NBA and come back, because right now you can say, I think I'm going to go to the NBA draft, see if there's something out there, find an agent, and then decide, you know what, not for me. I'm going to go back and finish out my senior year. You could do that now.
So you could have an agent, or find an agent, but don't sign with the agent, I believe.
Yeah, it's like a temporary contract where you can go back to the NCAA and continue your eligibility if you decide there's not an NBA career for you that year or whatever. You can go back. But to do that in the future, this new rule now says that if you want to do that, that agent must have a bachelor's degree, he must have been certified by the NBPA for at least 3 years, and he must pass an in-person exam at the NCAA office in Indianapolis. So he's got to go for an interview in Indiana. But the big thing on this is he's got to have a bachelor's degree, and that's why they say it's a shot at Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, who doesn't have a bachelor's degree and is taking over the world with LeBron. So, Guru, what do you think of this rule that out of nowhere?
The Rich Paul rule set by the NCAA. You know what? I'm proud of Rich Paul. Just the fact that to show how far he's came, that the institution, the NCAA, will make a rule basically on his doing part on his success. That is what you call a success right there, man. That is the ultimate thank you, because you did so well, they fear you. So I kind of, if I was for Rich Paul's sake, take this as a compliment, man. It's a freaking compliment. The NCAA is thanking you. But in other aspect, what the NCAA is really, really doing, like you mentioned, Lestro, is they are trying to impose what they will. You know, and nowadays, why does the NCAA exist? I don't even know the reason. Why do they even exist?
I know. You just get set off on the organization of the NCAA. We have differing opinions on it, and you are, as because you're a player and came up through it, you hate that organization.
No, it just makes absolutely no sense. You know, from a player, from a student, from any aspect of it, it has no logic, no sense. I was in a class, in business class, that teach you marketing, branding, about how to brand and market. The same institution that's telling me how to market myself and branding is the same one we street. That don't make no sense, and it never will make any sense.
I 100% agree with you on that point. We disagree on the pay of the players, but I 100% agree that the players should be allowed to market the shit out of themselves, man. That is, you don't own them. Go let them make money off them. I understand you're not going to pay them for the sport, and that's an entirely different discussion, but let them make themselves off being them, make some money. You know what? If a sneaker company wants to pay them money to wear their sneaker, let them. If they want to be in a video game and sell their face on it, let them. Shit, if they want to be down at the used car dealership on the corner waving for a weekend, let them. It's who cares? You're still not a professional athlete because you have a side job based on being you.
This is America, man. It's called a side hustle,
right? You know, like, what, is it going to get them and they're going to Uber? Hustle. They're like, no, that's all, you're out. I'm sorry. You blew your eligibility by picking that person up and taking them to the show.
No, the NCAA is just a bunch of foolery. I really don't understand their existence. So this so-called Rich Paul rule, as far as the bachelor degree and whatnot or what so not, I don't understand that aspect of it. Even the nuances of the rules don't make sense to me, as I read it and I see it, it absolutely makes no sense. Because,
well, here's the statement on the NCAA, and they put this out on Twitter, and I just want to mention that that while I don't hate them like you do sometimes, I'm starting to because of this statement. It's the tiniest white font on blue background, so it strains your eyes to read it. But what I think it says is that they're an institution of learning. Of higher education, Guru, and so they want everybody to have degrees to represent that you should have degrees, and that's their line on this one. So that's the reasoning.
That is perfectly said by the NCAA. A bunch of nothing. You know, a bunch of nothing. Do they know those players are not even graduate? You want a guy with a college degree to represent guys who are more than likely don't have a college degree.
Right, are leaving your college
early without a degree.
Right, that's the point.
It just absolutely makes no... If you want to do all that, then tell the players you have to have a college degree before you play professionally. If they really want to be gangster about it, this is nothing, NCAA. You can't do anything about it. And what confused me, this don't even affect the top-tier athletes in this situation.
No, it doesn't matter at all. The guys who are leaving anyway.
Exactly. And one last thing that really grind my gears, why is this only catered to the basketball? Why is it catered to a basketball, which is predominantly, let's just say, people of the minority population?
Oh, is it? I hadn't noticed.
You know, why? It's just so weird to me. How is this catered to a guy like a Rich Paul, who is a product of America, you know, a product of America.
The heartland.
You know, hustle. Oh, let me take that back. entrepreneurship because he got all the qualifications that was in front of him to be in the NBA agent, to be a representative. He accomplished that.
Yeah.
So now you're telling me that accomplishment has no bearing for the NCAA. Him governing hundreds of millions of dollars of contract. Now, he's probably almost a billion in career-wise, how much contract.
I think he owns half of Los Angeles at this point. I think like most of the West Side.
And you tell me a guy like that can't even go and recruit a kid and tell him his best interest for that kid. That is unbelievable, NCAA. You just keep doing it to yourself, NCAA.
Well, it's what you're absolutely right about that, because I bet you the NCAA allows interns at Clutch Sports. You know, like they're saying that this guy you would need a degree, and yet I'll bet you they allow interns at Clutch Sports to get the credit from the guy who doesn't have the degree because he set up a goddamn business. You know, like I guess in that sense, he does kind of that would stick in the craw of people whose job it is to sell you degrees, is that you're on your way out. So maybe it is just them wanting to kick people in the ass, really, on their way out the door, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's change gears here and start talking about the NFL, because there are actual football games starting up this week, Guru. So we want to check in around the camp, because while the games are starting up and the teams are reporting, as we said last week, Zeke still hasn't. And that is the biggest story out of the camps here, is that Ezekiel Elliott still has not reported, still reportedly in Mexico, I believe, having the summer of his life, while the Cowboys are in camp, because I would rather be in Mexico than the heart of Texas in August.
They're in California.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I love that. That's even better.
Oxnard.
That's even better. Down in Mexico, Zeke not reporting. He's now saying that if he doesn't get a contract before the start of the season, he may not play. It's sort of the Le'Veon Bell stand on the issue. It is different. We talked about it last week because it's not the franchise tag. But what do you think of this move? Is this just a power play?
Zeke is definitely showing his power move right here. This is a power play, because right now we know check season, holdout season. We know what season this is, injury season. We all know what it is, okay? So it's still early in that season, because we haven't really, other than the Hall of Fame game, which is just an anomaly, but we haven't really started the season, which will actually start tomorrow, the first week of official preseason. So it's still kind of early. So with that said, Zeke and them could have this type of power play available, but it's kind of weird. I love the tuggle though right now, man. I kind of love between the Joneses, you know, Jerry and his boy, and Zeke and his people. So I kind of love how the words are coming out, you know, because the Cowboys right now are trying to make it seem like, you know, they're the Jerry and those boys are just, they're doing it for Zeke. They're trying so hard. Like I heard some reports that they said they're offering Zeke, Dak, and Amari to be, you know, they didn't say the highest at their position, but they said one of the highest, or, you know, around that range of the highest. So it's kind of funny. And then Zeke is like, nah, dude, I want to be the highest. Like, I reached everything criteria that was necessary for me to say, hey, I outdid my contract. It's time to pay me, homie. And you better pay me, dog, or I ain't playing. It's just that simple.
Well, we talked about this last week a little bit, because Jerry Jones was saying that you don't need a rushing leader to win the Super Bowl, rushing champion to win the Super Bowl. But that this is the devalue of the running back position. But this is not the guy to test it with. Zeke really is worth it, especially in this Cowboys offense, because if you're not relying on Zeke, you're relying on Dak Prescott. And I know he wants to be the highest paid in his position too, but without Zeke, Dak Prescott isn't even Dak Prescott.
Absolutely. Zeke is what makes this offense run. You know, there are statistics that shows with when Amari came in, Dak numbers did go up as far as completion, touchdown, and all that is that goes on. Yes, Amari does make keys. But Amari, when it comes down to it, this offense is built on a running game. is not built on the passing game. It's predicated on 8-man and put Amari on a one-on-one situation in which he does what he does best. So I think everything stemmed from Zeke and when Zeke is rolling. Because when Zeke is rolling, this team is scary. And that's why we speak about leverage in business negotiation. Everything is about leverage and timing. And Zeke just did this in a perfect time. Even though he has 2 years left, he has the leverage right now. This is when you got to hit, when you have your leverage. Because in football, you don't get the opportunity to have the leverage too often.
Yeah, speaking of timing, I still think that this gets done before the season starts. I think it's already done, and they're just putting on sort of a show so that Zeke doesn't have to report to camp and can hang out in Mexico and continue to have the summer of Zeke. You know what I mean? I think this is already done, and they've got these scheduled press releases where they're like, no, we're not paying him. And Zeke puts one out where he's like, I'm mad, and I'm staying in Mexico, you know?
I don't think the Cowboys and the Joneses are that good of a – they're not that good.
I wouldn't put it past Jerry Jones, though.
To deceive that much. Are you kidding?
I would put it, you know what? It's Zeke then. He's just toying him along. He knows he's going to sign anyway. He just wants the summer off. That's what
it is. He just wants to get paid, man. It's plain and simple. Zeke just wants to get his money, and he'll be out there. You know, he always do this feed me, feed him some bags, man. That's all he's looking for. Feed him that bag.
Well, as an Eagles fan, I say, Jerry Jones, stick to your guns.
That's what I'm saying. As a Redskins fan, Zeke, man, hey, man, do that Le'Veon Bell, baby.
I agree.
Chill out, man. Right? Chill out the whole year, dog.
Make your stand, Zeke. And Jerry, don't let them drag you.
Hey, Jerry, you got to stick with your ground. You're right. Absolutely no Russian leader win no damn Super Bowl.
This is what we're saying as NFC East fans. So, Guru, let's speak of the NFC East. Trent Williams still has not reported to camp either. So the Skins camp in a little bit of turmoil. Still no Trent Williams. Haskins listed at what is this one?
Third string.
As a third string, and it just chaos in DC still.
Look, you always got to say the word chaos. Okay?
Yes, it's Dan Snyder.
It's not chaos, okay? It's right now. It's just a little situation that's going on, and it's Trent Williams is the little of the major situation is going on. Obviously,
nothing little about Trent Williams.
Trent Williams, who's top two, might be the best left tackle in the game, is in a turmoil. And I believe from what I'm hearing, just looking at the local papers and talking to so many people from back home, the atmosphere is, it's over.
Yeah, it's toxic.
It's over. It's the marriage is done. There's no reconcile this situation. It's time to move on. And I think the Skins are looking for a way to get rid of Trent Williams in a sense. They're looking for trade and looking for trade partners and see what the best they could get for Trent. So, in my opinion, like I mentioned last week and I mentioned before on my IG and Goose Film Room, is the Texans. The Texans have one of the worst offensive line. All right? So, you take Trent over there and get the Redskins, Jadeveon Clowney, and you have two unhappy guys, switch them a rule, and let them happy because they both get what they want. It's plain and simple, if you want to get it done. But right now, the Texans, they don't even have a GM. The Redskins don't have a GM. So it's basically a bunch of just debacles right now.
I love it. Solving two problems at one time like magic.
Same
Guru right on top of it, as always.
Send that check, Dan Snyder. I'll take that check, man. I ain't giving you all free advice like this, man.
So the other big news.
HTTR.
The other big news from, that's it. Fly, Eagles, fly. The other big news from the NFC is that coming out of actually the West here from Arizona with Kyler Murray, there's some rumors that he's looking good in camp so far.
See, one thing I like about camp, when you start hearing the bickerings and the rumors, I love that from the players because that's when you know. Players are the first one to know if a guy could play or not. You could tell when a guy could play. As a player, real quick, you're like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, this kid could play. This kid could play. And there's been a couple of players coming out, like Larry Fitz, a couple of guys that's been there, and they talking about this kid, how he could just the grasp of the offense, how he just command the offense, and he's so far ahead, and his composure, and just the knowledge of this game, it's so far ahead of what they think a rookie should be. And so That's high praise, especially coming from a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's seen great quarterbacks and non-great quarterbacks all in his career in Arizona. So it's a definitely a high praise. So I'm just interested to see this because, like I said, everything looks good, and Kyler should be comfortable with this offense because this is the type of offense he played with in college.
Yeah, so, a college level talent offense is exactly right. Is what he's used to playing with, aside from Larry Fitzgerald. That's what they got on Arizona. We will talk about them a little bit later in your NFC West preview when we do our previews. But for now, let's move over to the AFC and talk about a couple of the training camp issues here. I want to do one East, one West, two teams whose paths crossed 20 years ago fatefully and have been soaring in different directions ever since. I want to start with, that's of course, New England and the Oakland Raiders. I want to talk about Brady's contract first. Let's talk about this because he got an extension. He's now like the sixth highest paid quarterback in the league. He's the greatest of all time. Super Bowl champion, sixth highest paid quarterback in the league. What do you think of this contract?
How many Super Bowl does he have?
I don't know, 107.
You know, I think six.
All of them?
I think six. How many, you know?
All of them?
Look at what Brady just did to y'all. Brady was drafted in what? The sixth round. Brady got six Super Bowl rings. And Brady's the sixth highest paid quarterback.
Holy shit, it's the mark of the beast. Brady is the Antichrist. Oh my God, we've stumbled onto something here, Guru. That
yes,
is.
Yes, sorry, Bob.
My mind just completely blown. It's all becoming very clear now. We've been looking in the wrong direction. Sixth round pick, six Super Bowl rings. Sixth highest quarterback. It's the seventh seal, Guru.
Absolutely, man. Everything came full circle. Brady's not playing around with y'all, man. Old man Brady got that check, baby. Brady always loved that check. He don't get that big, big check. You know, Brady. Brady's not worried about that big, big check. He got that grown man check.
No, and this is actually a raise over what he was supposed to get. He's getting $23 million this season. He's got $30 million next season and $32 million in 2021 for a total of $85
million. Even though those are not guaranteed, they said there's a little language there that says those are void years. So the only thing guaranteed is this year. Anything else moving forward is more like year to year.
Yeah, and I think Brady knows that too because that's what he did last year as well. Is he set the big contract, had the number dropped, which is it was set to be 15, and this extension makes it 23 this year. But I love that Brady takes the less money to spread it around. This is, instead of being the highest paid quarterback, he just got six rings. Do you think this is something that'll catch on, or is this only because he's got a supermodel wife who's making $100 million a year anyway?
Hell no, this ain't gonna catch on, man. Hell, do you think this is, man? You gotta get paid, son. You ain't doing this. Let me tell you how this works, man. It's like once you first get in the league, you trying to make it to the league. Once you make it, establish yourself, you trying to get that paper, dog. You trying to get that check. Once you get that check, you like, all right, man, you know what? I might want to think about winning the ring, man. That's it. But Brady had it different. Brady was never worried about that check. He was always worried about the ring from the initial get-go.
He was worried about the job from the initial get-go. He was a sixth-round pick.
That's true. He did get fed. Then he got the job. He never worried about the check. And the only thing he worried about the ring, man. And since then, he's been worried about the job and the ring. So Brady deserved, even though he's undervalued, underpaid, but for what it is, he deserved a raise. That sounds so crazy. But he deserved even a bigger raise.
Yeah, he deserves a raise this year.
But it's like, in your own regular job, if you get a raise, you're going to like, no, everyone deserves a bigger raise. But one thing I love, I think there was a interview with Brady when he said, they'll ask him about the contract situation. He's like, yeah, you know, and just like the normal guy, this is a performance, you know, league. It's all about how you perform. So you got to perform to see. So you won't get cut in a sense. I'm like, come on, Brady. Come on, Tom. You can fool anyone, but you can't fool yourself, man. Come on, man.
Tom Brady, 42 years old, still making $23 million a year anyway. I love this. I read an article. I can't remember. I went searching for it so I could reference where I actually saw it. I don't remember where this was, but it was an article saying that the three most important people in the Patriots dynasty are Belichick, Brady, and Giselle, because her ability, there's no way he's going to reach her money anyway. So he's play money for that family because she's a supermodel. So he doesn't have to worry about being like top dog on the money. He'll just take the rings. He's got, even before he was getting the money, he had multiple rings. So for him, I think the goal was not to be the highest paid. It was just to get the rings and roll through that way. And that's, he doesn't need the money. Good God. He's
Man, nobody ever remember the highest paid player. They remember the whoever got the most rings, man. I don't remember the highest paid players. I just remember who got the most rings, son.
Well, to from one side of the country where they're winning rings to the other side of the country where they're not, the Oakland Raiders, the Hard Knocks featured Oakland Raiders, are making news again in the greatest soap opera fashion that they possibly could, as a picture of Antonio Brown's feet were released and they were just destroyed, beat to shit. Guru, it turns out that he didn't wear socks in a cryo chamber. I love this just as a...
Come on, man.
Did not wear socks in a cryo chamber and has frostbite on his feet. Only the Raiders, right?
Man, first of all, I don't even know what a cryo chamber was, dude.
It's a freezing chamber. It drops body temperature. It's a refrigerator.
Okay.
So he goes into this, but he wasn't wearing the socks. And so while he was in there, his feet got frostbite. And that is what's wrong with his feet. That is
Wowzers.
That is the issue with Antonio Brown. Only the Raiders, right?
Only the Raiders.
Only AB.
Commitment's excellent, right? Man, this is the fun. This is going to be an exciting episode. We just saw, it's cool because it just came out, I think, today or yet. No, today's Tuesday, Wednesday. Either way, we just saw the Hard Knocks earlier. First episode, hilarious. They had all the characters on it. With
they even brought John Madden back.
Joe Madden.
I couldn't believe that. It's like a cameo.
With the sled,
you know,
like, man. I love that. I love it. So the Raiders. John Gruden is a movie. I mean, he's just a star. He's a TV star, man. I just love it. Derek Carr, the whole shebang, man. Everything. Richie Incognito.
There you go.
Yeah, that's his name, man. I forgot I was about to say something, man. Because I used to call him something else. Oh, shit, we ain't Disney. I used to call him Richie Incognito.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, I know. But it's entertaining. There's nothing else. Because what makes it so entertaining is not football. Because we're not really there to watch.
Certainly not the Raiders. We're not looking for them
football.
To do anything this year.
We're just watching them just... be themselves, which is a dysfunctional, a walking cloud of just dysfunction.
What do you think? Are they gonna? First of all, I think if AB's smart, he gets the Antonio Brown extra warm sock line out before Christmas. I think they sell like crazy. Don't be like me. Wear your Antonio Brown extra warm socks. Put them in your stocking.
Hey, don't give him that.
I'm sold.
Free check. AB.
I'm sold.
Business is booming. You better
send that check.
Send
that check, AB. All right, so that's our look at the training camp news for right now out of the AFC and the NFC. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about next week on the NFL, both with the camps and with the fact that we're seeing some actual games starting up. I'm looking forward to finally seeing some football, even if it's only for the first, 2.5-3 minutes of the games. Looking forward to seeing them get out there. All right, so Guru, we are going to head in to do your NFL previews as the season continues. This week is the NFC West, but before we get to that, you got to let me do the plugs.
Got plug time.
Trash Talk Radio and TrashTalkRadio.com brought to you by the World of Sports Network.com. World of Sports Network, connecting the world through the sports we love. Head on over to YouTube and Search for World of Sports Network. Click subscribe. Check out all the great Trash Talk Radio content. Other great content like The Wash Show about Seattle sports and the new Barbershop Sports Talk show. Another great show we got out there. You can, of course, find Trash Talk Radio everywhere you can find podcasts. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google. We are on Spotify. Do us a favor. Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review. Help us out a little bit. And you know, let us know how we're doing. Leave a comment in there. If you want to talk about something, you let us know. If you want to find out what else is going on with the whole World of Sports Network family, head on into WOSNShop.com. That's WOSNShop.com. We've got all your news and information over there. Guru's long-form thoughts are on WOSNShop.com, along with a bunch of great Trash Talk Radio and World of Sports Network merchandise. You got to go check it out. Some of it you're not even going to believe. And if you're looking for Guru, he is, of course, on Instagram every day at Guru's Film Room. That's Guru's Film Room on Instagram. It's just his thoughts, man. It's just his thoughts. One more time for people in the cheap seats, TrashTalkRadio.com, and Guru, what's that hashtag?
10K for TTR.
All right, Guru, now that we got that out of the way, let's keep going here with a little bit more NFL talk before we wrap it up with a quick 2-minute drill. We have been doing your NFL previews for the past couple of weeks, and we made it our way all the way through the AFC and switching over to the NFC. Starting out in the West, Guru, this is where the NFC champs hail from.
Hail to the champs, the LA champs, the city of everything right now, man. The West Side, the NFC West, is going to be another tough, tough division. It's going to be another battle, and usually it's the Seahawks that dominated.
Has been for the past decade, you know, pretty much.
Pretty much the Seahawks, and then the 49ers had there when they had Jimmy. It was the Seahawks 49ers, and now they have, and obviously the Rams with McVay, they took a little bit over. They already had the Seahawks number, and then Kyle Shanahan coming to the 49ers. So this is a well-coached. Now, obviously, we don't know much about Cliff Kingsbury, but this is a well-coached division. You know, you have well guys, and you have well-run organization in this division. So it's always going to be competitive. It's going to be very competitive in this division. So the Rams, obviously the Super Bowl champion, the Super Bowl runner-up last year.
I figure they got to be the clear favorite in this division. I mean,
regrouping, you know, but that is, there's a big question mark, like every other team is the whole Todd Gurley situation with the Rams. That's the major concern, because we all knew what happened with Todd Gurley towards the end of the season with that knee situation. So we want to know going forward, is he going to be fine? Is he going to be healthy moving forward? So we just want to see how that goes. And that's going to dictate how the Rams are, because they are based on the offense. On Todd Gurley and the running game.
Yeah, that run-pass option that they play down there. Gurley, which Gurley are we going to get is the question coming in here at the beginning of the season. Is he 100% and can he move like Todd Gurley? Mm-hmm. Or is he going to look like the guy that finished out the season for the Rams last year? All right, so what do you think of this team? Is this
definitely high level with Jared Goff, obviously with McVay and the receiving Cooper Kupp coming back, the receiving core coming back with Woods and Brandon Cooks. So, and obviously Todd Gurley is what he is. They have an outstanding offensive line. So I still look, and the defense is still strong. Aaron Donald still.
You haven't even mentioned the best player in football yet, because exactly. He's a Ram too. The best player in football, Aaron Donald
is still present.
Going to be chasing around the other quarterbacks in the NFC West.
So the Rams are definitely primed. They're definitely primed, and they're regrouped to make another heavy, heavy run. But like I said, this division is going to be so heavy, man. One game might separate between coming third and winning division. So it's going to be a tight battle. Every division game is going to be even more heightened this year than it was last year.
Yeah, I think that's the key in this division, is you've got to beat the division rivals. It's always important to beat your division rivals, but I think in the West especially, there's going to be some tiebreakers that come down. So let's talk about the other teams here. Let's talk about the Seahawks. They made their way into the playoffs last year, and what we know, we talk about before, is kind of the middle of a rebuild, found their way into the playoffs last year. They've gotten a little bit bigger this offseason, so let's Let's talk about the Seahawks, Guru.
Ooh, that's definitely an understatement, man. The Seahawks was the number one rushing team in the NFL last year. And this year,
mostly thanks to their quarterback, but
no, obviously Carson had outstanding. Carson was top seven in the NFL in rushing last year. So Chris Carson had it. You talking about it? No, you always mentioned it season 2-3 years ago. That was a long time ago. Chris Carson had an outstanding season. Dwayne Brown came in a couple years ago to solidify the O-line. But just the addition of DJ Fluker and Mike Lupita, who did the OG they brought in, they probably have the biggest guard camp tandem. You know, DJ Fluker's 6'5", like 350, 360. You know, Lupita's 6'4", 330, 340. I mean, those guys are really mammoth. I mean, those guys in the interior line, that is a girth of grown men to just man and push, and especially with OC Little Schottenheimer, Brian Schottenheimer, who loves running the ball. So the Seahawks just got bigger, which means they're going to still do what they do from last year. They're going to try to bully ball you and obviously use Russell Wilson's ability to do what Russell Wilson do in the passing game.
Yeah, hide behind those giant offensive line. You're not going to be able to see Russ back there. And the next thing you know, he's going to pop out the side and then throw it for 40 yards on you if they haven't run it down your throat. I like the Seahawks this year. Now, of course, we are here in the Pacific Northwest, high above beautiful Lake Washington. They play down there at sea level. But from up here, I don't know. I can't help but be excited about the Seahawks season going forward. I don't know if they can challenge the Rams, but I certainly think they can challenge. But the 49ers were bits of also Rans, but now they've got their quarterback back with Jimmy G back taking snaps for San Francisco. What do you think of this team?
Definitely this team. I love Kyle Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan is one of the high-level coach in the NFL. And with Jimmy G, I think Jimmy G is an above-average quarterback. I don't say he's an elite quarterback, but I think he has the aptitude and also the physical attributes to be a very solid quarterback under a Coach Shanahan team, because Coach Shanahan he is known for developing quarterback and putting them in the best situation. And Jimmy G do fit his offensive scheme. And they have players around him. They always surround with quick guys offensively. So Kyle Shanahan, I think with the 49ers, they're definitely a sexy pick. Everybody's looking for them to regroup from last year because of the Jimmy G situation. Because you remember prior to last year, they finished the season when Jimmy G played like 4 or 5 and no after
yeah,
that
after they
trip.
Traded him. Yeah, they went on a run.
Exactly. And then the following year, that's when he got hurt and whatnot. So this is going to be his first year basically. But the good thing is it's going to be his second year underneath this under the Shanahan's offensively system. So he should be above or ahead of pace with that. So I'm really interested. And defensively, man, those guys are young. You know, the drafting of the Bowser, the other Bowser kid, Nick Bowser. So the 49ers, they loaded young defensively. So I'm very interested to see how they're going to take that next step in this NFC West.
Speaking of young, that turns our attention, of course, to the Arizona Cardinals, who are another young team in all their leadership positions, except, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, who came back to play.
Oh, gee.
We talked about this a little bit earlier when we checked in on the camp, that the rumors, of course, are that Kyler Murray is the real deal down there. New coach, new quarterback. What do you think of the Cardinals here? Can they put something together, or are they the Cardinals?
Obviously, they got the element of surprise coming here because it's a new coach, new quarterback, new system. So they do have the element of surprise. That's working for them. And it's cool because it's a different situation because it's a system that the quarterback knows. So that's he don't have to learn it like the other players. And if your quarterback knows the system and he's the one you don't got to teach, he don't got to learn or has the lowest learning curve, oh, man, that's what you want. Because that's what you want on the as when you're introducing a new philosophy. So I think that's a good trend. That trend's forward for the Cardinals as far as that goes. But the rumors, I love training camp because in training camp, that's when your peers really see what you're all about.
Your first chance to actually, they get a look at you on the field, run around, mm-hmm. Get a sense of what it might be like.
No cameras, no nothing. This is one of your peers because they're going to test you. You know, that's why you see a lot of hazing, you see a lot of things. Nah, you're going to be put in training camp. You're put in a situation where everybody's watching you. The eyes are there. You go in the film room. They see what you're about, if you're about that. So that's when I really listen and hear about training camp, because when they say buzz, like I remember last year, there was a lot of buzz about Patrick Mahomes. There was a lot of buzz coming from training, like this kid, oh my God, Mahomes. You know, the players know.
Yeah, that it's kind of what it feels like, Kyler Murray, is that like the players are like, nah, you don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like, you trust us, there's something coming. I don't expect them to be the Chiefs by any means, but I'm looking forward to this division too. I think this is one of the most fun divisions in football. So let's break it down. Who wins the division?
Wow, man, this is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a close one, man. It's going to be a close one. The Rams should win this division. They have everybody coming back offensively, defensively, obviously with Aaron Donald. And they, for some reason, they have the Seahawks number. But this year, I think the Seahawks will overtake the Rams and win this division. Russell Wilson is going to have a big year. I love the Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And I love what they did with the, like I said, with the linemen. So they have Goff in for Aaron Donald, and they're just gonna pound. And it's gonna be I think they're gonna be a very successful team. And defensively, I think another year having Bobby Wagner, who is the Aaron Donald of the linebacker over there. So don't forget, the Seahawks do got a Aaron Donald type player themselves who could dominate at his position. And I think everybody else will grow up another year. So I think the Seahawks will take a step in this rebuilding process to solidify themselves. And you know, they might not win the take a first round bye, but I think they'll win the division and host a game here in Seattle, which will be great for us.
Yeah, man, you shocked me there. I gotta tell you, I wasn't quite your Bengals pick from like 4 years ago, whatever it was, but you shocked me there with that. So do the Rams make the playoffs though?
I think the Rams do make the playoffs. Absolutely think the Rams do make the playoffs with Sean McVay. And I won't be surprised if the Rams and the Seahawks probably meet in the wild card game in the playoffs.
Right, that first week game, yep, where it's a rematch of week 15 or whatever, yep, it'll be there. All right, so let's run down our usuals here. Which of these teams made the best off-season move? What was the best off-season acquisition or move for these teams?
The best off-season moves, this division really didn't have major off-season because the Rams really stayed put as far as the majority of their players. The Seahawks obviously stayed quiet and didn't do any craziness. But the best offseason move, I would say, in this overall situation would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Because of the pickup of Kyler Murray in the draft?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it feels like in that division, well, the Seahawks did pick up Ziggy Ansah, but he won't play for the first couple of weeks. I guess it's the only big-name signing there. But this division feels like the big moves were signing your guys and keeping them. The Seahawks gave out big contracts to Wilson and Wagner. Mm-hmm. Just hold your guys in place, make sure what you got, and the draft pick. I think the biggest move will end up being Kyler Murray. It's got to be the draft pick. All right, so who is the best player in this division?
Oh, in this division right now, I think it is Russell Wilson.
Really? I was going to say it's got to be Aaron Donald, right? That's what we're talking about.
Oh, he's best player. You forgot about my man Aaron Donald, yo. But this week, this season, I think Russell, even though Aaron Donald's going to kill it, but I think Russ is going to have a outstanding MVP caliber season. And just because I got the Seahawks winning the division, I got Russ being the best player in the division because he is the highest paid player in the division. And at the end of the day, he has the Super Bowl in this division as a quarterback and been there twice in this division, and no one's done that.
All right, so finally, final question here is which player, who's our sleeper pick here? Whose name will we know by week 5? We may not know it now, but by week 5, who are we going to be talking about?
This is a good one, man. You know, this is not a – I don't think it's going to be a new guy in a sense. I think it's a rebirth guy, you know. I think it's a guy everybody forgot, nobody ever talked about. We talk about Zeke. We talk about Saquon Barkley. I think people forgot about David Johnson from Arizona.
From Arizona.
Exactly. Look at your face.
That's a good one, actually, man. Like, I forgot he was still playing.
See, I expect David Johnson to – he was always one of the best running back when he played. And he obviously the injury got him a couple of seasons ago last year, obviously. And now with the offense, everything that's going to be going with Kyler Murray, I see him being what he is, a dual threat. I see him catching the ball, and I see him being very, very productive and reminding everybody that, hey, you forgot about me. I am David Johnson, and I was at one point top 3 to 5 best running back in the league. So that was only a year or two ago. So now with all this situation coming, I expect David Johnson to just, you know, like reintroduce himself.
I like that. Sleeper pick, David Johnson. I'm putting that on my fantasy list there to move him a little bit higher. Good pick, Guru. I like that. All right, that wraps up our NFC West preview here on Trash Talk Radio. Guru, where are we going next week?
Oh, next week we're taking it to the north, baby. We're taking it to the north, man. And we're going to have our boy from Chi-Town, man, Pat the Designer from Chi-Town next week for Chicago North.
I'm looking forward to that, man. I love talking to that guy. He's got the best rhythm in the game right now. It's just, it's so smooth. I love listening to Pat the Designer. Looking forward to that. NFC North next week on Trash Talk Radio on our NFL previews. All right, Guru. Well, with that, we are running out of time here on the show. We got a little bit of time left. You want to do a little two-minute drill?
Let's do this.
Is that we play the two-minute drill here on Trash Talk Radio. This is our chance to talk about all the things we didn't get to in the show this week. I put 2 minutes on the clock and start lobbing questions out there. Guru, are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. Draymond Green got a big contract extension, but not as big as he probably could have had he tested the waters. Guru, gets 4 years, $100 million. He signed through 23-24. He's got a 15% trade kicker on that. What do you think of this move for both sides?
First of all, it was a great move. You know why? Because he signed with Clutch Sports, baby. Everything Clutch does, it's a great move, man.
It's a great move. I agree. Send that check, Clutch. This actually, I think, is great for both sides, both teams. It's sort of a Brady-ish contract because he might be able to get more money elsewhere. But Draymond Green means...
He's a warrior.
Yeah, and honest to God, he's not going to mean as much to another city. He knows that. I think he should get paid more because he's kind of the heart and soul of the team. You know, like, I think Steph and Clay are there, but, I mean, the glue guy is Draymond. You know, when he's not in, they look like a different team, even more than the Splash Brothers. But we'll see. I like this move. I like him signing there, staying with the team. Fantastic. Hey, speaking of basketball, Carmelo Anthony told Stephen A. that he would be willing to come off the bench. Do you believe him?
In this case, nah, he has to. He's pleading to get on a team. He's begging to get a team.
It seems that way.
Yeah, so in this case, nah, I think he'll be the 8th, 9th, and he don't give a damn. As long as he's getting on the team.
I think he gets pissed after about 2.5 weeks of sitting on the bench and not playing, but we'll see. John Wall, apparently your Wiz have signed Isaiah Thomas to mentor John Wall through his injury. How you feel about that?
Oh, man, the melons. Oh, you got 2 melons. What you do? You got lemonade, baby. Melon, man. We got the DC lemonades, baby.
All right, so moving on to football. Adam Gase was reportedly back to work 2 hours after his wife gave birth. He was back there. This would get me an instant divorce, Guru. Let me ask you this. As a player, is it inspiring to see him back that early, or does it make you question his sanity?
Oh, man, come on, Adam Gase, man. You got to have some mental capability right here of loving your wife and your child, dude. We know it's a game, but, man, that extra 6 hours of you staying there and her and helping her out
in the summer
ain't gonna make y'all go to the playoff. I'm telling you, Adam Gase, if y'all don't go to the playoff, man, was it worth it?
Right, your wife's gonna be like, listen, motherfucker, I get a Super Bowl ring out of this. That's the deal.
Put a ring on it.
Big diamond Super Bowl ring, or else that's it. All right, the horn went off there. I got one more here for you. I just want to ask you about this Hall of Fame class, this football Hall of Fame class that went in. I just first want to say that that Ed Reed's the bust of Ed Reed is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And when I go in to the football Hall of Fame in Canton, I want that sculptor to do my bust because it was just the best thing ever. But a big defensive class, Guru. What do you think of this year's class?
Big fan of the DBs, obviously. I'm the guru's a DB, so I'm always about them DBs, man.
Yeah, this year's class was Champ Bailey, Pat Bowlen, Gil Brandt, Tony Gonzalez, Ty Law, Kevin Mawe, Ed Reed, and Johnny Robinson. Tony Gonzalez really the only offensive name in there. The rest of it, defensive minded. This is your kind of Hall of Fame.
Yes, sorry, man. I'm telling you, Ed Reed, the headliner out there, I believe he killed it as well. One of the greatest to ever do it.
Dude, the photos, Ed Reed looked the best, man. Ed Reed made me a fan. Get that guy a TV show. I just want a camera on him.
Oh, man. And my boy Champ, obviously as a Redskins guy, you know, Champ started his career over there in D.C., so he's one of the guys that inspired the group to be a DB. Huge Champ Bailey fan. I think he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and obviously he's been honored that way by being in the Hall of Fame. And Ty Law, can't forget Ty Law, man. He always laid the law. Love Ty Law. But the thing is, me and my best friend was a, you know, Ty Law went to Michigan, so my best friend growing up, you know, loves in Michigan, so, and I have to obviously not love him. Because
obviously
we're
not.
Obviously not.
So no, you can't do that.
I couldn't like Ty Law. I couldn't really tell him, but secretly, you know, I was a major Ty Law fan, man. So Ty Law deserved it, man. Ty Law, long awaited. Ty Law is a dog.
And like I said, they all were great. Congratulations to all of them going in. Especially congratulations to Ed Reed for having the greatest sculpted bust in the Hall of Fame, in any Hall of Fame, maybe, anywhere. And like I said, I want that artist to do mine when I go into the Canton Hall of Fame. And with that, Guru, we are out of time here on Trash Talk Radio this week. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, but the best place to find us is at TrashTalkRadio.com. If you're looking for Guru, he is available every day on Instagram at Guru's Film Room. That's Guru's Film Room on Instagram. It's just his thoughts. It's just his thoughts. Until next time, my name is Lestro.
And it's the Guru.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao. Brady was drafted in what? The sixth round. Brady got six Super Bowl rings, and Brady's the sixth highest paid quarterback.
Holy shit, it's the mark of the beast.